Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
In the interest of historic accuracy, as someone whose birthday was on the 28th of May 1986 and who worked at a station, I would like to say that the elections were held on the 28th of May 1986 and not in March. I was always taught by my parents that women especially had to pay attention to their dates because many women have been made to look like fools in the court when they did not know exactly what date things happened on.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. Obviously, men don't have that problem in court. Down to Brass Tacks.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir. How are you?
How are you doing, sir?
I'm well, and you?
Not too bad. I was here minding my business. I didn't plan to call, but I heard
that's
you...
That's not a trouble.
I hear you making some statements really that I have to defend this country again.
No, what's that?
Because I think the time has come and Barbados has got to put its foot down and stop being the doormat for the Caribbean.
Okay.
I mean, we had a federation of 10 countries and all signed on, everything was going 4 years old. Jamaica decided at one point they're dropping out. The very next day, Trinidad, the Prime Minister of Trinidad, decided he dropped out too. He went to Parliament and he announced to Biden that he dropped out too. You remember that? Good. We got a situation with LEAC now. LEAC serves 15 countries in this region, and only 3 of those countries contribute to LEAC's upkeep, which means that the passengers are paying higher fares than they should be paying. And nobody can talk about that. Nobody can talk about the other countries that ain't paying nothing. UAE is owed close to $60 million. For fees not paid by the OECS. Nobody don't pay any attention to that.
Now how much Barbados owes?
I tell what I this is Barbados.
How much money Barbados owes UAE?
I can tell what I tell university is about $200 million in debt. And know how much Barbados owes? I can tell them debt. And let me tell you something, the government don't run careful got its own financial system.
May I ask you this question?
Now, let me finish before I forget.
Sorry.
Do you remember the CMCF thing? Guyana orders $150 million and never paid a cent. You remember that? All that is the burden that Barbados has had to carry. Barbados has been a good neighbor to the Caribbean, and Barbados has carried a lot of a burden down through the years without saying anything. Now we got the CCJ. And my opinion of the CCJ is this, and I said this before. The CCJ was drawn up on the Treaty of Chagrin with 11 countries. And the CCJ should never have been authorized to keep a whole house because not even a majority of the countries signed on. It should never have been allowed to function with a minority number of countries. It is undemocratic. It should not have been allowed to function. A majority or all. And that is where we went wrong. But again, Barbados yields to that. And we got a kick in the pants for it. So don't say Barbados has given itself its heart and its soul to carry calm. But what do we get in return? Huh? Criticism. We get laughed at. We don't have no bank. We don't have no insurance company. People, foreigners own those kind of things. And Caribbean all the problems.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Go ahead.
Is there any merit whatsoever in Barbados being part of any regional institution right now?
Is there any merit?
Yes.
Well, Barbados is in everything.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you whether, in your opinion, is there any merit in Barbados remaining in any regional institution?
It doesn't help Barbados.
It does not help. Barbados. So you will pull out of all?
No, I won't say it would pull out. I won't say that.
So if you just said it doesn't help, so if it doesn't help, why stay?
Because Barbados has been a good neighbor. Barbados has been carrying the Caribbean countries on its back for years, and nobody has given Barbados any credit.
You know,
when people owe us money, we don't say
You know, one of the things that you ignore?
Uh-huh.
that they got a market, they're called the OECS. That Barbados is a big beneficiary out of that. Barbados don't do something for nothing. Barbados, just like any other country, when you do something, you're looking at it from the point of view of cost and benefit. So this notion that you want to peddle, and that some of you want to peddle, that Barbados is given, 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 don't get, that does not necessarily hold up. Barbados, listen, there are so many people who leave this country every day going into the OECS to make a living, whether they are dentists, lawyers, salesmen, companies like the realtors, the insurance companies, they all have a stake in what is happening in the OECS alone. We're not talking about the wider Caribbean as well.
You remember?
You guys need to look. What is really disturbing for me is that in an election campaign where we should be looking towards what is best for Barbados and giving people a sense of hope, what we are descending into is too much negativity. I mean, this is no, as this campaign comes to an end, look what we are discussing. How bad the rest of the region has been to Barbados, as though Barbados can hold its head up as being a model member of CARICOM in every respect. Everybody got their strengths and they got their weaknesses.
Can you say something now?
And I'm a Bajan, and I'm a Bajan to the core. I'm not one of those people who will tell you I hate my country. I love Barbados. All right, but I am also cognizant of the fact that, you know, we do some good, and there are things where areas where we are weak, and we need to work with our regional partners. But I feel a greater sense of regionalism than you do.
Ms. Ellis, let me tell you something. Barbados import a lot from the region. A lot of our vegetables coming from the region. We have always imported a lot from Guyana. We import a lot of fish. We import timber. We used to import rice. I don't know how much rice we import from there anymore. But we import from there too. And all the products, most of them come from Trinidad. So we're talking about now. And a lot of more food, all the food, drinks and things come from Jamaica. But it's not a one-way
street. Yeah, but it is not a one-way street.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But you're trying to say it as
well. While we are importing so heavily from Trinidad and from Guyana, we are also selling services to the OECS.
Mr. Ellis, if you check the central bank figures, you will see that Barbados, see that food bill, that $800 million.
What are you seriously? What are we seeking to argue here? Your premise is that we need to pull out of the CCJ.
Mr. Ellis, don't use those words to me. I ain't talking no pull out nothing. I am saying that if Barbados feels that it is time to secede from the CCJ, it has every reason to do so.
It's the same thing that you just said. Pull out.
As I said.
Secede, pull out.
What about the actual council? The actual.
Well, you may have more of a justification in that regard when you look at the amount of money that we put in. But at the end of the day, it is about traffic through the region and having Barbados as a hub. That is what it talks about.
Barbados is a hub. Barbados owns the majority holding. And you know when Barbados was supposed to become the hub in the Southern Caribbean, you know, Antigua say? Like, hell no. Antigua continues to be the hub in the north. Barbados was supposed to be hub in the south. And Liat said no. So Barbados now is partial hub, and Antigua gets mostly traffic.
They're telling me that 51% of our exports go to the OECS territories. 51%.
How much of their exports come to us?
I can't tell you that offhand.
See?
But the fact of the matter is, as you said, it's not a one-way street. Some of theirs will come to us. Look, I am not one of the people that you can come to and get an open ear when it comes to being divisive within this Caribbean community. I know that we have a number of shortcomings, but I feel that like anything else, we need to work on them. I don't believe that the way of dealing with it is being like Donald Trump and walking away.
I don't advocate walking away either, but let me tell you.
But that's what you have just said.
I saw an article here by one of your feature writers in the Nation. I can call his name, unless I have to. But he wrote in an article some time ago that Barbados become the laughing stock of the Caribbean. That
but that's every, his opinion.
Every odd, and then that.
I want you to something. I wanted to do a project ever since, and I can't. Right now, it's difficult to do it. But it would be interesting to take people that you know and ask them if they have any relatives elsewhere in the Caribbean, living elsewhere in the Caribbean. Do you know how many people can tell you that they have a brother, a sister, an aunt or a niece or somebody, and whole families who live elsewhere in the region? Look, I come from a family where, on my mother's side, people migrated from Barbados to Trinidad and lived there. Many of them I don't know. And that story is replicated across this region. They come to me and ask me if I know Lionel Ellis in St. Lucia. You know, and when it comes to black Bajans who have traveled this region as priests and policemen and teachers who have gone on to develop families all across this Caribbean, why are you guys losing sight of that? This is reminiscent of the rubbish that we heard when the Guyanese were here. You know, we forget that, you know, at the end of the day, we are all moving to and fro in this region. If you don't go to work, you go on a holiday. When you go on a holiday, it is one of these people that you're staying at, not in a hotel. You're staying at them. They're taking you here. They're taking you there. People go to university together. They build up lifelong friendships. Stop dividing us. This is not worth it. And you're going to divide me today and then got the gall to come back and tell me tomorrow that we should be one? That don't make sense. I don't know where you're going with this discussion about identifying all of the negatives. If we have a problem with the Caribbean Court of Justice, in the eyes of some, because there needs to be some assessment of the degree to which a majority of Barbadians buy into that perspective on the CCJ, that its rulings have been unfair to Barbados. I hear some people with it, and I hear people who are more inclined to support the government with that view. But across the board, I am not hearing that. I know that people say, look, we have weaknesses in the system. We need to fix them. And Barbados cannot be competitive if we don't fix them. So whether the CCJ says it or not, we know that is a problem. Anyhow, let's move on. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon.
You are correct in what you've said, that why has this now become a hot topic issue about the CCJ? Because as far as I'm concerned, it really is a red herring. Let's be very clear. The CCJ has two, and something that Arthur said that he needs to be corrected upon. The CCJ has two jurisdictions. One is the original jurisdiction, which interprets the Treaty of Chagaramas and all the attendant notations towards that treaty. And there is also the appellate jurisdiction, where Barbados, I think, is only two or three other regional jurisdictions who have signed up.
I think there are four now.
Four now, yeah. I think it is Barbados, Guyana, Belize, and I think Dominica is the other one. I think Dominica might be the fourth one as well. So there are two jurisdictions, the interpreting the Treaty of Chagaramas and also using the court as the final appellate jurisdiction. And quite clearly, if we're going to speak about the CCJ and about whether or not we should remain in, I think the point needs to be made. The CCJ has made some very important points about the justice system in Barbados. And rather than someone getting on a political platform and trying to suggest that we should pull out of the CCJ, I think the point is that they should spend more time examining the things that have been put on the table and trying to see how best we can go about eliminating those challenges.
You know that since you have put in perspective the role of the CCJ in its original jurisdiction, which is interpreting the revised Treaty of Chagaramas, and the appellate function, it therefore implies that we would need clarity as to what would happen. If you say you're pulling out of the CCJ, where would that leave you in relation to the Treaty of Chagaramas itself? And how you would treat with issues that would arise within the context of the interpreting of the original jurisdiction? And would that mean, that, for instance, that the issue like the one that is proposed to be taken there with Hard Rock Cement, because I believe that would be under the original jurisdiction, that would be relates to the interpreting of the treaty.
Correct.
Would that mean that we'd be pulling out of that too?
Exactly, and that's the point. That's a very important point, and that's one of the things that I just wanted to bring clarity, especially with Arthur making the point that Barbados is only one of few. No, all the CARICOM territories have signed up for the CCJA in its original jurisdiction.
That's correct.
That clarity must be made. All Caribbean countries have signed up for the CCJA as the original, in its original jurisdiction,
right,
as it relates to the Treaty of Chagaramas.
Right. So what else? Let me finish here. Yes, you were saying? Yeah, down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. I would just like to make two quick points. First of all, I ain't hearing much about Natalie. You know, the candidate for the city, the independent candidate. And secondly, sir, what I would like to say is that elections is just like a horse race. That very seldom, sometimes you have your money and money pin on two favorites. And sometimes when you hear the shout, a rank outsider that at 99-1 odds just come and put a head right on the railings to the outside or inside and come and set the whole apple cart. You know, so we have to watch this election very, 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 you know, with our P's and Q's, you know?
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's take another call. It's 24 minutes after 1 o'clock. You're on the air. Hello. Yes, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon. You know, I'm not a person that would be in the habit of calling and criticizing other callers and so on. It's really a waste of time. However, I must say that it is repeatedly annoying to hear Arthur come on and give all these red herrings, green moss, fish, whatever you want to call them, to the people. Because I have, as you may recall, if you know who you are speaking to, have had a lot of affiliation with LIAT. Now, he says that there's no base in Barbados. The Antigua said the base has to be in Antigua. Incorrect. He's splitting hairs. There is a base in Barbados right now as we speak, because there are pilots and stewardesses based in Barbados. The headquarters is in Antigua, which is a difference, and that obviously is a base for the Northern Islands. Now, why would British Airways and American and whoever want to come here to transfer people to Grenada, et cetera, and land them in Antigua? Isn't it more strategic to bring them south to this hub, Arthur? Hub. This is still a hub. Now, I wish he would stop this nonsense every day of bringing all this false, unclarified information. I don't know where it comes from.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that there is justification for Barbados to reconsider having LIAT as an airline that we've invested in? I mean, this comes up periodically, but the government of Barbados, and it's successive governments now, have held the view that because of the importance of LIAT to our tourism, that we need to have it.
Okay, I will answer that by saying this. Years ago, and I mean, LIAT has been going now itself over probably 40, 50 years. Prior to that, you remember that the same exact situation was taken by BWIA. BWIA ran up and down these islands, not when they only got jets and went further afield into England and North America, etc. They were up and down these islands with Viscounts for many, many, many years. And they were, you know, I don't think they were making a heck of a lot of money if they were making money. But Trinidad saw it as a service to the region, which benefited them, I'm sure. It went back to benefit them in many ways. So Liat is filling that void. And the thing is that I had said on this program about 5 months ago that Liat's biggest problem was it needed to have a serious look at rescheduling. I hear now the new appointed CEO, Ms. Reefer Jones,
yeah.
Right? I heard her say recently that they have looked at the scheduling. They realized there is a lot of savings that could be made. And in addition to that, they've made some strategic affiliations with other airlines. In other words, what we used to call co-sharing, where I don't physically have to fly my airplane from here to Hong Kong because I can use you and we will exchange or endorse tickets
okay.
to each other.
Are we going to have to wrap you up? Thank you very much. And thanks, Dennis Johnson, for assisting in today's program. You know, we only have two other programs before the elections. That's tomorrow and Wednesday. And Dennis will be on Wednesday, and I think Sanka Price will be tomorrow. So keep the focus. Keep calm. Remember that, you know, it's important that you exercise your franchise. If you believe that you have been convinced enough by those who are coming for your vote that you should go out and vote, please do so. In the meantime, just be careful. There's a lot that can happen between now and then on our streets. We've had a couple of accidents and the violence, please keep it down. That's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.